Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys for coming. Nice weekend, Sunday day. Sweet. All right. For those of you guys who haven't been here, what we've been doing, while David's been gone, the elders have been taking a turn, and we've been preaching on the purposes of the church. And this, we got this from the book Systematic Theology. Great read if you ever have a chance, like if you ever have a little bit of time to read, and I mean like a little bit by like weeks. Straight, if you want to do that. Yeah. But it is an awesome book, so I do encourage you, read it if you get a chance. It's thought-provoking, even if you don't agree with it. He outlines great arguments in theology, so if you get a chance, read from it. And he outlines three purposes for the church, three basic underlying purposes of the church, which is perfect because we have three elders other than David. So it fit in really well. So we've been doing that, and first week we had Pete talked about one of the purposes being to magnify. We've been doing the M theme, so I've been trying to fit everything in with M's. So the M theme and magnify or worship basically was the first purpose of the church. And the second one that Seth talked about last week was maturing or discipleship, nurture within the body of Christ as we minister one to another, basically, like what we have happening right now. We just did worship, and now we're doing the message. And today, we're going to be looking at another M word for multiply and mercy. Multiply being one for evangelism. And multiply was just the closest M word that I could find to evangelism. So if anybody can think of another one, great. Just let me know later, although it's too late now. So we're going to be talking about multiply and mercy. And it's awesome actually really going into these purposes of the church because we just finished before that a spirit series on the Holy Spirit, kind of the who the Holy Spirit is and his how he works in our life and in our body. And it really fits in well because we've just been learning about that and now we're learning about why the Holy Spirit has gifted us, why he's enabled us, why he is who he is and why he moves in our life. Now we're talking about the purposes for that, how God is using the Holy Spirit inside us as believers and inside us as a body as well. So the big idea today that we're looking at is that God is building his church, which is us, all of us here at CCC. God is building his church, and not just this church, but his universal church, so that we can minister to the world through multiplying or evangelism and mercy ministry. And we'll get into defining those as we go into it. And I want to look at this both from an individual and a corporate perspective, both as we as a whole as a body can, should, and do minister in those areas, as well as how we as individuals should and can and do minister into those areas as well. Because this church, CCC, is a reflection ultimately of who we are as individuals, how we are using our gifts within the body of Christ, how we are living our lives, not just here on Sundays, but also throughout the course of the week, what we're doing, what we're involved in, what we're doing with the grace and mercy that God has shown us. All of that comes together and creates who we are as a body here at CCC, at Christian Community Church. So I want us to keep that in mind as we get into it, that all of us shape who the identity of this body is and how this body functions. So let's pray, I guess, first. Father, I just thank you for your word and for your truth. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into your word today and study out, Lord, that you would just give us revelation into your word, Father. Give us revelation into the idea of evangelism, Father, and just stir our hearts that it would be a work of your spirit to stir us into that area and into mercy, Lord, that you would open our eyes, Father God, to see the world in need around us. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts, Father, because apart from that, Lord, if all we're doing is hearing, Lord, then and it bears no fruit, then nothing is accomplished. But Lord, I pray that we would not just be hearers, Lord, but that we would be doers, that you would stir in our heart even as we talk today, Lord, that you would stir our hearts specifically on where we can reach out and where we can serve, where we can get involved and what we can do. And Lord, that you would just stir in our hearts, Father God, to give us a greater understanding and appreciation for your gospel, Lord, and for your work on our behalf, and for your great and awesome love for us and for all people, Lord. Draw our hearts to you today, Lord, and bring glory to your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay. So first one we're getting into is mercy. Mercy, actions, reaching out and touching the world. And by mercy, what I mean in this is essentially helping the poor and needy in the name of Jesus. Helping those in need, ultimately, in the name of Jesus. So as I'm talking about mercy, that's what I'm talking about. And in the name of Jesus is key in this, because there's a lot of organizations and groups and individuals out there that are helping the poor and are helping the needy in some way, shape, or form. But their purpose and heart is different than our purpose and heart in that is to show forth through that the love of Christ and the character of Christ and the beauty and awesomeness of the gospel. So ultimately, our aim is to give glory to God as people's natural needs are met. Give glory to God as people's natural needs are met. That's kind of our heart in and through it. And this can be providing food for people, shelter for people, education for people, clothing, healing, whether it be through miracles or through medicine, help with projects, helping those in need, ultimately is what we're talking about, how we can do that. And I wanted to precursor this. How many of you guys took that spiritual giftings test that we did a while back? A handful, not a lot. Okay. Well, if you haven't, do it. Try it. Again, see what's happening. It's still out there. It's okay. I think there's a link on the church website still. So they had all these different categories on spiritual gifting, and my wife and I took it just to see where we're at. And so, you know, you could range in a score from a 1 to a 20. 20 being like you are really gifted and doing great in this, and 1 being not so good. On mercy was one of the categories. I scored a 3 on mercy. So I just wanted you guys to know. And meanwhile, my wife, in turn, up here in front, she scored a 20. So you can see the beauty of the balance of the body of Christ and marriages and relationships. Did anybody that took it score anything less than a 3 on anything? I haven't met anybody who scored even a 3 or less on it. Okay, somebody. Okay. Thank you, Tony. So I just want to say that, too, to show that to preach on a topic, you don't have to have arrived there. So I have not arrived at a good spot in mercy, so this was a good one for me to preach on. God was speaking a lot to me through it. So I am, as I'm talking here, I'm sitting out in the audience with you listening attentively as well. So starting off with, and I want to give you one verse to start off with. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 27. So near the back of your Bible, James 1, verse 27. And in this, James writes, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." You see, God has a great heart, and I could go, there's tons of scriptures in the Psalms, New Testaments, everywhere. A lot of Jesus' ministry was to those who were in need. Well, a lot of it was sick, those who were afflicted by demons, afflicted by sickness, whatever it might be. Jesus has a heart for those who are in need, a dramatic heart. And if you read the Bible, you can't ignore it. You can't escape it. All over in there, he has a huge heart and a burden for those who are in need, those who are suffering, those who are afflicted. They are close to his heart. Turn with me again to one other scripture. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Verse 31. And again, we'll see in here God's heart for those who are in need and those who are suffering. So Matthew 25, 31, and we'll read through 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" For some reason, God really likes sheep and he doesn't like goats. Goats are bad, sheep are good. So it's no offense against anybody who has goats. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And then he goes on to say also to those who are unrighteous, hey, when did we see you? And when did we see you like that? And Jesus replies, basically, as you did not do it to any of those, you did not do it to me. So we see in there God's huge heart for those who are suffering, those who are afflicted, those who are poor, those who are needy, those who are sick, those who are in prison. You see, when we show mercy to others, we are showing mercy to Christ himself. Because he is identifying with his creation here. On the flip side, a life without mercy is essentially a rejection of Christ himself. As we reject his calling to love others, his creation, whom he calls in here his brothers, his sisters. You see, loving, the two greatest commands in the Bible, God says, are to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. They are very, very much connected. Our love for God should stir us to love others. As in loving others, we are in fact showing our love for God himself. And that's a powerful, powerful revelation. If we can really understand that and see that, when we show our love for others, we are showing love for God himself. We need to see, as we look around and see others in need, we need to remember, wow, in serving this person and helping this person, I can be helping essentially Christ himself. That's a powerful calling. But it also takes sacrifice. You see, it takes sacrifice to show mercy. And I'm not going to gloss over that or skip over that. It does. That's the honest to God truth. It takes giving of our time, our resources, going out of our comfort zone to reach out to everybody. So what I want us to do is after service, all of us, Larry Good does an orphanage down in Peru, those who don't know, and he's the one whose mom is up in Anchorage now. After service, I want all of us to go home and immediately post it on Craigslist or Facebook, wherever it was, sell everything that you have and give it to the orphanage, to Larry Good. Everybody good with that? Show of hands, who's with me? Come on. You see, for most of us, God is not going to call us to sell everything and give it to the poor. We saw that, though, in the New Testament, the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus, and he says, what can I do to inherit all the eternal life? And they said, well, I've obeyed all the commands of God. What else can I do? And Jesus says, go and sell everything that you have and give the money to the poor. Come and follow me. And the guy's like, no. You see, he was willing to give a little bit, but not everything. He was willing to serve and obey, but when it comes to like sacrifice and really giving up, that's where the rubber meets the road, and no thank you. You see, God will probably not call us to sell everything and give it to the poor. He probably won't, but he might. And that's what we could all be open to. Maybe he will. Maybe he will. Are we willing to do that for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus? Are we willing to do that? You see, for most of us, what it really takes, what it really means in terms of sacrifice is giving up some of our luxury. Giving up some of our luxury. And by that, I mean our wants, not our needs. Our wants and not our needs. You see, we as a country, for most of us, we are all blessed. And we're blessed to various levels. I understand that even within this body, we're blessed to various levels. But all of us here are very blessed. Most of us have enough clothes in our wardrobe right now to clothe a small village in Africa, probably. And I don't say that in joke. Most of us have enough clothes to clothe a small village. Most of us make enough in a week or 2 weeks to sustain some family somewhere for a year. Most of us have enough house that we could fit 5 families in. A lot of these people that live in one room, all their family, most of our houses could fit about 5, maybe more families in them. We are blessed. We are very, very blessed. And so by sacrifice, what I mean is we give up a little bit. Start with that and see what God will do. Maybe it's a less expensive car that we buy, a less expensive house that we buy. Maybe it's giving up lattes at $4 or $5 a pop. Maybe it's giving up those, converting to soda like me. It's only $2 a bottle. I'm just kidding. It's not good for you. Don't do it. Maybe it's less eating out. I don't know. What is it for you? What is the luxury? Less new clothes. Maybe it's less toys, not buying that other nice new four-wheeler. Maybe it's electronics, not buying the iPhone 29, but sticking with the iPhone 2. I don't know even where they're at right now. So, less expensive fishing gear. It still will probably catch fish, even if it's a year old. Whatever it might be for you, and all of us can probably, if we think about it, we can identify it. If you think of something, you're like, not that. That's probably it. Think of what that might be for you. Maybe it's not doing the 72-inch TV. It's skinnying down to like a 60-inch. I don't know. Whatever it might be for us, all of us have a luxury that we don't need, in the honest God truth. And that luxury could do awesome, incredible things out there being used for the purposes of God. And it starts with compassion. Loving God, a love for God and a love for people. A love for God and a love for people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave. It got to a point where, and that is my prayer for us, for me, that we would get to the point that we so loved. All of us could say, I love people. Yeah, I love people. I love the needy people in Africa. I love the needy people in Homer. Okay, but do you so love them that, so that it motivates you to action, to do something? You see, Christ so loved us that he acted, that he went out of his comfort zone. He gave up the glories of heaven to come down and live with his creation. And not only live with his creation, but to suffer and die a humiliating, shameful death at the hands of his creation. If anybody ever went out of their comfort zone, he did. Because of his great love for us, he gave up everything to live with us. It takes a work of God in our hearts to bring us to that point that we so love that we act. I want to read, my wife and I, since we got married, have been sponsoring kids through Compassion International, if you've heard of them. And it's a really cool organization, actually. We looked into them quite a bit before we chose Compassion and invested in that. But we signed on to it shortly after we got married, and we were sponsoring this kid over in Uganda. And I can't remember, he was probably like 6 years old when we started sponsoring him, something like that. He was pretty young. And we sponsored him all the way through when he graduated high school. And this was a letter that he wrote for us right near the end. And I'll see if I can get through this without being emotional. Okay. This is what he writes. Thank you for your great helping hand and support you have provided to me since my childhood. You have made me a changed person, and I thank you with all of my heart and mind. May the living God reward and bless the work of your hands. It was really cool, actually, being involved with him because, like, we sponsored him all the way through, and then he ended up going to college, got in this program where he could get into a college, basically, and get extra education. And so that was kind of the last letter or correspondence we could have with him. And then later, like, it was not that much longer later, we got a Facebook message from him. And now he's on Facebook. And it's really cool because now we can, like, keep in touch with him on Facebook, too. And it's just cool. And in and through that, I remember we got a letter a few years back. I couldn't find it offhand, but where he talked about how God had saved him. He'd recognized the goodness of God in his life through the works that how God had provided for him. And it broke his heart, and he gave his life to Christ. And he still does. He's still walking with God. Very strong. And that, we were able to minister to him, not only financially, but we were able to send letters back and forth with him to keep in touch with him and minister the gospel to him through that. And it was just cool. I mean, that was $38 a month. $38 a month to sponsor him and be a part of what God was doing in there. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's very, very little. I mean, that's one of it for our family. That's less than it costs for us to go eat out once a month. It's not much at all. You see, there's lots of Christian opportunities out there to help those in need. Lots of them. Lots of good organizations. And I encourage you, research them. Study them out. See which one's the best one to be a part of. If you're looking for something in-house, Larry Good offers you the chance to support, to support an orphan down in his orphanage down in Peru. You can keep in touch with them, too. I'll send you videos of them, too. So that's an opportunity to be a part of. Go on a short-term or a long-term mission. Go out there and see the world in need. Open our eyes. We all of us need our eyes opened a bit more to see the great need that's out there. To see, wow, they're living like that and I'm living like this. What can I do? What can I do? As a church, we get the privilege of supporting a lot of these places that do help provide for those in need. We support missionaries such as Larry Good, Peter or Paul Wigg. They support orphans and destitute. Larry runs an orphanage, Resources for the Blind, obviously what they do, the blind. We as a body get the chance to support a lot of these ministries and to be a part of God using them to touch and change lives. Locally here, we get a chance to support the food pantry and the Salvation Army that reaches out to the locals, to those in need within our community, because they are out there. We have a benevolence fund as a church that we take an offering for periodically that we can use to help those who are in need in our community that come to us as a body and say, we need help, we're hurting. We get a chance to support and be a blessing to them too. In our own community, we can get on. There's lots of needs out there in our own community. If you're on Facebook, look around on Facebook. Search with not eyes just to read gossip, but to see needs, to recognize needs that are out there. So we can pray into them, but also so we can support and give into those. So we can help with the love of Christ to reach out and meet those needs. I'm always challenged every time I talk to Rocky, who's back there. I talked to him, Rocky, what did you do on this Saturday? Oh, I went and helped so-and-so. I think he's put up all these projects, all these Saturdays. He's doing things. I was like, shoot, man. He's doing like something every Saturday, it seems like, helping people built with a building project, which is awesome. He's an amazing servant. God is using him. All of us have opportunities to help those in need. All of us do. All of us can help those in need. I don't care where you're at, what you've got, what you don't have. All of us have the opportunity to help those in need. Are we going to do it? Are we willing to sacrifice out of a love for God and out of a love for his people? Okay, so on to the second part, multiply. Multiply, or sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, using words. Today, mostly, went through the Holy Spirit series, we were talking quite a bit about evangelism, how the Spirit has empowered us for that, and about Spirit-led evangelism, how God leads us by his Spirit to reach out to people and to share the gospel. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on importance in that today. What I want to do is give a few practicals and talk a little bit about God's heart for it, God's heart for it as well. You see, if we truly believe that heaven and hell are real, if we truly believe that, then we would have little problem telling people about the good news. If we understand what's at stake in this whole mess, in this whole world, what's at stake in that, then we would have little problem saying that. We need to ask God to give us a greater revelation and a greater faith that we could see people as he sees them. And I've said this before, but it's always worth remembering for me. If Christianity is anything, it is what? Let's see. Yeah, there you go. If Christianity is anything, it is everything. The belief, the gospel, the word of God that is out there. If this is true, if this is really true, if we believe this, this should change everything. This should motivate and drive everything of who we are and what we do. The belief that there is a supreme God, creator that is out there, over everything, sovereign over everything, in everything and involved in everything, and who is intimately involved in our lives and calling us and drawing us to himself. If we believe that everybody's eternal destiny is at stake in here and that the lives of everybody is in the balance out there, if we truly would understand that it is everything, it is everything. Christianity isn't just a part of who we are. It isn't just a part of our lives. It is everything in our lives. It motivates and drives everything that we do. Or it should. The kids down there are learning, last week they learned memory verse Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for salvation. Why are we not ashamed of the gospel? Because it is the power of God for salvation. It is the means that God has given for salvation. That is why we should not be ashamed of it, because we recognize the consequences that are out there, and we recognize the only way to salvation, to eternity with Christ, which is ultimately what we are all seeking and searching. That is the gospel of Christ, and that is why we should not be ashamed of it, because we have within us the key to bring that God has given us to offer salvation to others. There is a world and nation in chaos. In chaos right now, there is a great need for the hope and the peace that is in the gospel. Okay, so on to the practicals. If you could turn with me to John chapter 4. So after Matthew, a few books over, John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well. You guys might have seen before or heard before. This is Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well. So John 4, we're going to look at 7 through 16. So Jesus was walking with his disciples, basically, and they stopped at this town in Samaria, and his disciples went on into town to go get some food, and Jesus sat down near this well. So this is where we pick it up. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring in him, or will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And it goes on in there, and she has this, and Jesus basically tells her, "I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for." And then she brings her entire village to come and hear Jesus. And many get saved. Many come to know Jesus through that. So I want to kind of look in here and see. So Jesus puts himself in this opportunity at the well. And he knew she was coming. He saw her long before she started coming out to the well. But in and through that, Jesus loved her. Jesus, as she was coming out to the well, I can only imagine his heart stirring up with compassion and love for this lady who was not a believer, who did not know God. And he recognizes the opportunity that he has to talk to her. And first of all, he engages her, and keep this in mind as we go through it. This is what all of us can do. As we see people, we recognize them, we see them, and let God stir up in us a love for them. And second, he engages her in conversation. He says, "Give me a drink." He engages her in conversation, gets her attention. So all of us, that's where it starts. Say something. "How are you doing? How's it going? Nice weather outside." Start a conversation. Say something. And then the next thing he does, he gives glory to God. He starts talking about the gift of God, the free gift of God. And he stirs her attention and wonder, okay, what is this? What is he talking about in here? What is going on? He gives glory to God as he's talking. And then next thing he does is he points to her personal need. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." So he draws to her personal need that she can drink of the water and have eternal life, that she would never have to thirst again. You see, a lot of evangelism and talking to people is just talking about the beauty and awesomeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just talking about, sharing about how awesome God is. And it makes people recognize their own need. God has created a need inside of everybody for himself. And God can use us to help them realize that. Constantly in the Psalms, we see where he says, "Make known his deeds, declare his greatness, sing his praises in the assembly." We're to be called to go out there and talk about the good things that God has and is and will do. Share your own testimony. If you're a believer in Christ, God has given you a testimony. God has done great and awesome things in your life. Every one of you, if you're a believer in Christ, at the very least, he died on the cross, gave up everything, died on the cross to save you from your sins and to give you an eternal destiny with him in heaven. You see, many people will say, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know what to do or what to say. But then you can hear that same person and they'll go on forever if you give them an opportunity, talking about their favorite sports team, talking about fishing stories, talking about their kids, all sorts of different things that are out there, their favorite hobby, what they like to do. All of us, if you get us on the right topic, man, it's hard to stop us from talking. Even somebody that's super shy, super quiet, man, you get them on that right topic and they're poof, off they go. They're talking. All of us know what that is for us. And we're just talking about how awesome it is or how cool it is, whatever it might be. And, you know, they didn't need any training or exhortation to do that. All they needed was a passion for something and an audience to share that passion. Now, all of us, that's all we need is an audience and a passion. And sharing the gospel. We don't need to be a Bible scholar to do it. We don't need to know everything on the Bible, although we should always be striving to read our Bible and learn more. Mainly what we need is a passion for Jesus Christ, a love for the gospel, and a love for people, and an audience. We have an audience. We always have an audience. There are always people out there in need. Do we have enough of a passion for Christ to get out there and share it? You see, all we need to do is change the subject from talking about sports or whatever it might be to talking about the glories and greatness of God, our Savior. Not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Because it is the power of God for salvation. You see, in caring for natural needs through mercy can be an avenue for the gospel to be shared. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 18. This is Jesus going and ministering. Luke 18, 35 through 43. As he drew near Jericho, that is Jesus, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, the blind man inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You see, that is how a mercy ministry should ultimately work in the end. If people will respond to it. See, Jesus saw this guy, saw the need that was out there. He healed the man, and then in turn, the man turned to follow Jesus and gave glory to God for it. And that's what happens, like with Twisegi. We reached out, we met his natural needs, and he recognized, he saw that, and ultimately then God worked on his heart, and he gave glory to God and became a believer and a follower of Christ. Mercy ministry is an awesome way to share the love of Jesus and draw people to himself. And all the ones that we've been talking about, the Wigs and Larry's Orphanage and Resources for the Blind, they all lead to salvations for many of those involved because they recognize the beauty of the gospel as God's people are reaching out and touching and ministering to others. It's done in the name of Jesus, shows the goodness of God and the beauty of the gospel. Mark 16:15 is the Great Commission, and it just says to go and proclaim the good news. Go and proclaim the good news to all of creation. And that's our job, is to go and proclaim. You see, the results are up to God. God is the only one who can change hearts and cause people to respond to him. God is the one that can do that. We cannot. But our calling is to go out there and proclaim. And it takes a work of God to get us out of our apathy and getting out there to share the gospel. It takes the work of God. Again, do we love enough? For God so loved the world that. Do we love people so much that? Do we so love that? Do we love people enough that we're willing to get out of our comfort zone, to sacrifice again? It's sacrificing our public image, what people think of us, our desire to please people, getting out of that, how are they going to respond? What's going to happen? Do we love people enough that we will step out of that, not be ashamed of the gospel, and share the love of Jesus Christ with a world who desperately needs it? Change in action happens when we love people enough to act. When we love people enough to act, that's when change happens. Placing a greater importance on building God's kingdom than building our own kingdom. So again, ask God to give you a greater love for people. Ask God in your prayer time every day, every morning, every night, ask God to give you a greater love for people. If you keep asking him for that, he will do it. I promise you, he will. Let God stir that up in you. So the third part in this, and I want to wrap up with this, is kind of an overview as we've been studying the purposes of the church. So we've got the purposes out there. The first one is, what's the first one? Magnify. Magnify. What's the second? Mature. Discipleship. Discipleship. Mature. And what's the third? Mercy and evangelism. Okay, you got to get that one. Come on, that's today. So those are the three that are out there. So which of those do you think is the most important? Which one's most important? Everybody's quiet. You guys know it's a trick question. You guys are smart. Okay, so which do we need to emphasize as a body? Which of them are most important? The answer, of course, you guys get it. That's a trick question. All of them. You see, they all fit together. They all fit together. And if we elevate one, it's going to cause others to fail and lead to a church that is dangerously out of balance, dangerously out of balance. Let me go into that real quick. If we focus on magnifying, if we put worship to the forefront and let the others kind of be what they will, what happens is the church gets shallow. The church becomes shallow because there's no depth in there. We're focusing on the experience and the worship, and we struggle in holiness. People struggle in holiness because there's no discipleship, no accountability. And we grow stagnant and die, just like the Dead Sea, because it has no outlet. We grow stagnant and die because we are not giving of all that God is pouring out into us. And if we focus on maturing, if we focus on discipleship and let the others go by the wayside, what happens is we become dry and lifeless because there isn't that worship, that passion, that love for God to stir us up to himself. We become stagnant again because we're not giving out. And members become self-righteous or critical because we're better than other people. We're more mature. We're stronger. We're more better disciples. If we focus on mercy and multiply and put the others to the wayside and just focus on reaching out to other people, what happens is we become what they call a seeker-friendly church. We're shallow. There's no depth. There's no depth to us at all. Again, prone to sin because there's no discipleship. There's no accountability. There's no nurturing of the body. We're exciting, fun to be at, cool place to hang out, but there's no depth. There's no substance to it. So again, all of them are important. All of them are important. Turn with me to one last scripture. We're going to Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And this is the one describing the early church, again, which is cool to see. And I want you to, as we read through this, see the works of God or the purpose of the church alive and active in there. And they, that is the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So they're into discipleship or nurturing, maturing, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. So they're giving glory to God in communion and praying, magnify. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So they're going out there, they're doing miracles, they're doing awesome things, healing people. Again, mercy. And multiply. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Mercy. We see mercy at work. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They're giving glory to God through it all. They're magnifying God, praising God. And praising God and having favor with all the people. They're praising God again, magnifying him, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they were being active out there, sharing the gospel, the word of God. All of these purposes we see at work in the body, God was using them and working through them all. If we could have the worship team come up, we're going to wrap up in a minute. But all the purposes working together need to exist for a healthy church. They're all essential for a healthy, active church. You see, because they're all tied together. In evangelism, we're magnifying God. When we share the gospel, we're giving glory to God as we do it. And as a result of our personal and corporate magnification, as we glorify and worship God, that leads us more and more into evangelism, or it should, as well as our maturity, because as a disciple of Christ, we're going out there and reaching out. And we mature individually and as a body as we worship God. As we behold the wonder and beauty of who God is and give him glory, God stirs us up and works in our hearts and draws us to himself. And we grow in maturity as we evangelize as well. As we give up our selfishness, like a baby, we give up our selfishness or always cries for ourselves as we go out there and minister to the needs of others. As we share the gospel, we're giving up of our selfishness. And one note on this is God, while the church needs to have this balance, God has gifted each and every one of us in different ways, individually, in these specific areas, in one of these areas to be able to minister out. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about we are all, that the church is made up of many parts of the body with different functions. And we all come together, and when we exercise and walk out in the calling God has for us, we comprise the full and complete functional working body of Christ. All of us God has gifted differently. We can see Seth up here on Sundays, and God's given him the gift to magnify God, to give glory to God. We see David up here, and with the passion that God has put in him to mature and disciple people, to train people to follow God. We need more people for mercy and multiply. We need more people with a passion and gifting to outreach and to show mercy. You see, we as a body, as CCC, we need people to figure out to be active and plug in with the gifts that God has given you. God has gifted every single one of us with something to give to this body. Every single one of us. I don't care if it's your first time here or your 99th time here. God has gifted every one of us with something to give to this body. So I encourage you, figure out where God has given you a passion. Where God has given you a passion. A lot of times, that's a good sign. As we can see, man, as he was talking about mercy, and man, that just stirred my heart to want to give more and do more in that. Or evangelism, that stirred my heart to do more in that. God has given us a gift in all those areas. And my encouragement is to you is to get plugged into the body and use that gift to build God's church. We need everyone here using their gifts, using the gifts that God has given you so that we as a church can walk in the balance that God has called us to so we can fulfill his purposes and give glory to him ultimately. So we're going to wrap up in a worship song here. And as we do, we're going to have prayer teams too. If you would like prayer either during worship or after, please come up and receive prayer. They'd be happy to bless you. So let's stand, everybody, and worship with us. Remember, as we walk out the doors here now, we enter Christ's mission field, a world that is needy, that needs to hear the gospel and the love of Jesus. Through our actions and through our words, that we would show them the love of Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that you would stir up our own hearts, Father God, mine included. Lord, I pray that you would give us a greater love for people. A greater love for your creation, Lord. Stir that up in us. Give us a greater love and passion for your gospel. Lord, that we would see it with blinders off, Lord, the beauty and wonder of who you are and your perfect plan. And Father, I just pray that you would give us a greater love for people, Lord, that would stir us to action. Lord, to reach out to those in need with the love of the gospel. And Lord, that we would share without shame and without fear your gospel, Lord. That you might draw people to see yourself and bring glory to your name, Lord. Help us in that, I pray, Father. And thank you for your work in our hearts. We love you, Jesus, and we give our lives to you, Father, to be used for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Have an awesome week.